Welcome to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church located at 107 Linden Drive in Waycross, Georgia. Our mission is to make disciples in Waycross, Ware County, Southeast Georgia, and the world beyond. We do that by teaching and doing our very best to live the truth of God on earth as it is in heaven and encouraging others along the way. The Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast can be heard Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on WASW 91.9 FM, American Family Radio. You are an important part of our ministry. Thank you for making us part of your Lord's Day celebration. Please stay tuned after the message for information on how you can receive a CD of the broadcast, a free subscription to our monthly magazine, or how to contact us if you have any questions about what you hear. Now, with the message, the pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like to ask you to please turn to the book of Malachi. I encourage you to look at God's Word in the book of Malachi, at some of the expressions that are made there. There's one particular expression that I want us to look at, but I think the book of Malachi is one of the most beautiful and amazing books. It's one of the most I don't know how to put it into words, but it's amazing here that every time God tells His people that they're doing something wrong, every time that God addresses a problem that they have in their lives, every time they begin to question God like, that's not a problem with us. And I think that probably in all of our lives, there are things that are amiss that if God brings them to our attention, sometimes we don't even realize that those are problems that we have in our life. God will ask them a question or God will make a statement, and every time God will make a statement, they throw a question back at God like God doesn't know what He's talking about. They're arguing with God. We don't esteem God as highly as we ought to. We don't respect God. We don't reverence God as much as we should. We don't reverence God's Word as much as we should, and that's a reflection on how we reverence God, is the way that we reverence His Holy Word. The way that we reverence God's house is also a way that we tell how much a person has reverence for God, is how much reverence they have for God's house. I want you to notice a few of these statements, first of all, then we'll go back and look at one particular statement. Malachi chapter 1, I want to read the first two verses. The Word of God says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi." And here's what God says. "I have loved you, saith the Lord." Isn't that a wonderful statement? I have loved you. We don't understand the word love today as it's typically almost always used in the Bible. When we talk about love today, I think we're just talking about a feeling in our heart that we love somebody, have a little feeling in our heart for someone. Whenever the Bible talks about God loving us, it's talking about God manifesting love, God showing love, God doing something that manifests love. For example, John 3:16, "For God so," what? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." He showed love. That's what the Bible's always talking about when it talks about love. It's talking about showing love, doing something that proves the love that you have. Romans 5:8 says, "God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's loving somebody, to die for them. That's showing love. That's what the Bible's talking about. God says here, "I have loved you." Let me just say this. If a husband and wife, and I want to encourage everybody here, every couple here, I want to encourage you to go home and do what I'm fixing to tell you to do. I want you to periodically, maybe once a week, maybe once a month, but I want you to sit down with each other and I want you to tell each other ways that you have seen your spouse showing love to you. In other words, I can say to Teresa, you loved me by cooking a meal. You loved me by washing my clothes. You loved me by cleaning the house. You loved me by saying I love you. You loved me by, you see, the list goes on and on. But I need to be reminded of the way she is loving me. And when I finish, I need to say, now you tell me other ways that you have been loving me that I haven't even been aware of. And I expect she will give me a longer list than what I even am conscious of. Because people are loving us and doing things for us, and we don't even pay attention to all that they're doing. And you multiply and magnify that a million times, and you get some idea of the magnitude of the love that God is having toward us, that God is showing toward us. We just walk about our lives like, so what? And God says, I have loved you. And I want you to watch this now. Verse 2. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? What have you done to show your love? Do you hear the response they're making? Can you imagine arguing with God to begin with? But can you imagine God saying, I have loved you, and you not even realize all the different ways that God has loved, is loving you. God is loving you every day. And we'll be praising God a lot more if we realize and think about how much God is loving us. I'll love my wife a lot more if I realize how much she's loving me. I'll love you a lot more if I realize how much you are loving me, how much you're doing for me. You're showing your love. But I don't think we recognize how much people and how much God is showing love. And that's brought out in this one expression where God says, I have loved you, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? What have you done for me? I'm going to ask you this question. These six people that are here in the front, down here in their wheelchairs that have come from the nursing home 7, you think these people have they loved me this morning? Have they loved me? What have they done for me? I'll tell you what they've done for me. They've loved me and they've loved God by putting forth a special effort and being in the house of God. They've loved God. And as I go around and speak to them, they show love by the expression and by the handshake. And as I asked some of them this morning, as I usually do, please pray for me to be able to preach. One dear sister said, the Lord is going to bless you. The Lord always blesses you. You know what she was doing? She was encouraging me. She was loving me. Brother Henry, almost every Sunday morning, I say to him, Brother Henry, please pray for me to be able to preach. And he says, preacher, God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you. God's going to be with you. You know what they're doing? They're loving me. They're encouraging me. They're saying, just calm down. God is in control. It's not up to you. It's the Spirit of God. It's the power of God. And their confidence is in God, not in me. Has God already loved you today? Has God already loved you today? Have you praised God for all the ways He's loved you today? Have you thanked God? You know, one of the problems that the Word of God describes, that when God sees this existing in a nation, when the people in a nation are unthankful to God, that's the last days. They're in their last days when they're unthankful. When God's children are not thankful for what God is doing for them, they're in their last days of having fellowship with Him. Do you realize how much God is loving you? David in Psalm 68:19, he says this. He says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Every day, He loads us with benefits. I had lots of blessings yesterday. I had a lot of blessings day before yesterday. I had a lot of blessings this week. And everybody here, God has loved you. And God has shown you His love, and God has been good to you. The Word of God says in James 1 and verse 17, that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Where do all of our blessings come from? Every blessing that you have, they all come from God. What is God doing when He gives you those blessings? He is loving you. God says here, I have loved you. And the response of the people is, wherein have you loved us? I think sometimes even in our personal relationships with each other, we would be shocked at how unthankful we are for what people are doing to show their love for us. And sometimes when husbands and wives are having trouble and conflict and angry with each other, the man might say, you don't ever show your love for me. Or she might say, you don't show your love for me. And they're angry with each other. And the reason is, usually, they don't see. They're blind to seeing how much their spouse is loving them. God loves us. I'm not talking about God feels love. God loves us, shows us love in so many ways. And we need to be a thankful people, and we need to be praising God, saying, thank you, Lord. I want to do something. You've done so much for me. Did you know God performed 3 miracles for me in the past 2 days? God performed 3 miracles. 2 of them I can't even tell you about. But I'm telling you, God has performed miracles. And that's besides all those other multitudes of blessings that He's given me. And all the blessings He's given me every day. And God is saying to you this morning, God is saying to you, I have loved you. One of the songs that we sing sometimes says, it's like Jesus is speaking to us, and Jesus says, I gave my life for thee. What hast thou done for me? And all through that song, it's talking about what God has done for us. And the question is asked repeatedly, and what have you done? And how have you shown me that you are thankful for my love, my loving you? Are you thankful for what God is doing to show you His love every day? Let's talk this morning. Let's look at some of the ways that God has loved us. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at some of the ways God has loved us. Did you know God loved you before you were ever born? Before you were ever conceived in your mother's womb, God loved you before that. God loved you before the foundation of the world. That's an amazing fact. God loved you. God did something for you before this world ever began. Before God ever said, let there be light. Before God ever created this world, God had already done something for you. God had already loved you. That's expressed in this expression, that God foreknew you. That word knew means love. God loved you before the foundation of the world. You know what I ought to be doing as I make a list of the ways that God loves me and is loving me and has loved me? And as I make those long lists, I want to be praising God because of what He's done for me. He's loved me. I want to love Him back. The songwriter says, I want to love Him more. I want to love Him more. He's done so very much for me. I want to love Him more because He's loved me so much. In Ephesians, look in your Bibles at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Again, now I want you to remember this. I want you to remember that if you see God loving you, you're going to be praising God and loving God. And if you're not praising God and loving God and serving God every day, if you're not conscious of God's presence and power and blessings, if you're not thankful every day, then you don't see what God's doing for you. You don't see Him loving you. And you're in the same condition that the people of Israel were in. God, through Malachi, said that God said to them, I have loved you. And they said, wherein have you loved us? What have you done for us? What have you done for me? Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul knew what God had done for him. You remember what his name was before he was called the Apostle Paul? What was his name? His name was Saul. And as Saul of Tarsus, he had been going around killing Christians. He thought he was doing God's service. He was killing Christians. when Stephen was being stoned to death, it was Saul of Tarsus that was right there that helped bring that about. This man, Saul of Tarsus, was converted on the road to Damascus. He was changed and he saw Jesus. And from that point forward, the rest of his life, he saw the blessings, the mercy, the grace of God. And he praised God. And in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." What was he doing right there? He was praising God. Was he thanking God? Was he praising God? Did he know? "I have loved you, Saul. I loved you so much that in spite of all your despicable ways, I loved you anyway. In spite of all that you had done, I had mercy on you. In spite of your wretched past, I love you anyway." Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Saved, wretched like me. And whether you know it or not, you were a wretch when Jesus saved you too. And whether you know it or not, you still fall short of honoring and glorifying God. And He's loving you, and He's loving you, and He's doing so much for you. And you're still walking around like, "What have you done for me? Wherein have you loved me? What have you done for me today?" And then you have a few problems and a few troubles, and you begin to say, "Well, you know, I don't think God loves me." I'll tell you, brethren, we ought to be ashamed when we doubt that God loves us. Think about all that He's doing for you every day. And then you could actually, honestly, truthfully think, like those apostles said when the storm came up, and they said, "Carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care about us?" Does God care about you? Has He shown you that He cares about you? Does He love you? Does He love you? Jeremiah 31:3, God says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." Romans 8 says, "Nothing can separate us from the love of God." So Paul in Ephesians 1, just before he begins to enumerate ways that God has loved us, in Ephesians 1 and verse 3 says, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." Where did you get every spiritual blessing that you have? It all came from God. "According as," this is verse 4 now, here's a way that God has loved you. "According as He," that is God, "hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." What did God do to show you His love before the foundation of the world? He chose you. He chose you. It's just like if right now I said, you know, if I were to say I have $1,000 in my checking account, and I'm going to pick out 10 of you and give 10 of you $100. And I said, "Brother Andy, you come get 100. Sister Lindsay, you come get 100. And I say, "Sister Courtney, you come get 100. And I might give 10 of you $100. Would you appreciate it, Brother Andy? At least for 24 hours. You see, $100 doesn't mean as much as it used to. It really doesn't. I was probably 30 years old before I saw a $100 bill. Money just doesn't go as far as it used to. My point is, God loved you before the foundation of the world. He didn't just give you $100. He chose you. Is that a blessing? And let me say this, there was nothing in you that deserved for you to be chosen. See, everybody that I mention, I can tell you reasons I want to give them $100. I can think of a few people on this earth I don't want to give $100 to. Don't want to. If I were to give them $100, you could say, "That's grace. That's great. That's love. Loving your enemies. You gave somebody like that $100? Oh, that's the way you were. You think of the worst enemy that you've got. You think of the worst person you can think of on this earth. That's your condition before God was worse than that. And God chose you anyway. Has God loved you? God says, "I've loved you. I chose you before the foundation of the world." And then in verse 5 he says, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." He predestinated us. Is that showing the love of God for him to predestinate, to determine before the foundation of the world where we're going to be when this world is over, to predestinate, to declare our final destination before the foundation of the world? He predestinated everybody that he chose. He predestinated them to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. He predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, not because you were good, but according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Do you hear what God just did for you in verse 6? He hath made us accepted. I want to read it again. He hath made us accepted in Christ Jesus in the beloved. I want to say it again. You don't find anywhere in the scripture where God ever says that we are to accept Christ or anyone else accepted Christ. You find where Christ accepted us. Now that's the truth of the matter. We're to believe on Christ. We're to love Christ. But I want us to remember first and foremost, God made us accepted in the beloved. Did he show his love for you when he made you accepted in the beloved? Did he show his love for you when he chose you before the foundation of the world? Did he show his love for you when he predestinated you to be conformed to the image of the Son of God and predestinated us unto the adoption of children? Did he show his love for you there? What does God say in Malachi 1:2? I have loved you. I've loved you. I showed my love for you before you were ever even born. Romans 9 says, before the children had done any good or evil, Jacob and Esau, God said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. The amazing thing is not that he hated Esau. The amazing thing is that he loved Jacob. You read about Jacob and you'll see you're just about as wretched, if not more wretched than Jacob. And Jacob did not deserve to be loved by God. And you don't deserve to be loved by God. And yet God says, and God proves, I have loved you. I've loved you. I've loved you. Yet you say, wherein have I loved you? I'm afraid if I had done just quite a bit for you and then you turn around and threw it in my face, what have you ever done for me? You know, just about everybody in this congregation, even relatively new people, all of you have done something for me. You've done something for me. You have loved me. Everybody in this, I don't see anybody here that hasn't done something for me, hasn't loved me. How would you like it if I said, what have you ever done for me? How would you feel, Sister Cindy, if I said that to you? Would that be like a slap in the face? It's worse than a slap in your face when somebody is doing things for you and they are loving you and you're so unappreciative and they can do things for you for years. Your parents, those of you that have godly parents and you think about what all they've done for you, and yet sometimes you act like, what have you ever done for me? Unthankful. God blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God chose us before the foundation of the world. God predestinated us to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. God made us accepted in the beloved. Did God love you before the foundation of the world? Did he do some things for you before the world ever began? Yes, he did. Verse 7, he says, in whom ye have redemption. I'll tell you, brethren, Jesus paid it all. I was redeemed. You were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You think that was love? Can you doubt the love of God when he gave his only begotten Son for you? Can you doubt the love of God? Can you be unthankful to God? Can you stop praising God when he gave his only begotten Son for you? I love all of you very much. I would not give my son. I would not give my son. Do you understand? I love you. God gave his son, his only begotten son for you. Did he love you? Look at the love of God. And God says, I've loved you. And he's saying to every one of us today, I've loved you. I redeemed you. And you have received, the rest of that verse says, you have received the forgiveness of sins. He forgave you of all of your sins. Before you were ever born into this world, Jesus died and he paid for every sin that you have ever committed or ever will commit. They're all blotted out. They're removed eternally as far as the east is from the west. God has forgiven you. Has he loved you? Has he loved you? Is he loving you now? Is he still showing love to you? Listen to Brother Henry over there. Y'all can't hear him. But he's over there, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll tell you what, brethren, there's some little lambs of God here. You remember when God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and you remember Abraham said, Lord, if I can find 50 righteous, will you spare us? And God said, yeah, you go find 50 righteous. And then Abraham said, well, Lord, what about 40? What about 30? Probably, it doesn't say how much time elapsed between each of those, but I imagine he went out and started looking and had a lot of trouble. So he came back and said, how about 30? How about 20? What if I can find 10 righteous? Will you spare? Yeah, I'll spare it if you can find. Go find 10 righteous. You know, one of the reasons that God has not already destroyed the United States of America is because of some of the old saints that are still on this earth. And because of their faithfulness to God and their love for God, because of them loving the Lord, God has spared our nation. Isaiah 57:1, I believe, says that you better be careful because the righteous perisheth and no man taketh it to heart, none considering that they are taken away from the wrath that's to come. You let them start dying off. You let them start dying off. And you know what we're going to see? We're going to see hell like we've never imagined in our life. And the only people that God is going to take care of, but will take care of, are those who every day they're seeing and they're saying, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And they're singing and they're saying, Jesus loves me. This I know, because as I look at my life, I see He's loving me. Not just that He loved me before the foundation of the world, but I see He's loving me every day. Is Jesus loving you every day? We could go all the way through chapter 1. We could go to chapter 2, Ephesians 2. And you have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Did you know if God had not quickened you, you would still be dead in trespasses and sins? And your mom and daddy and the preacher and everybody else couldn't quicken you. It took the power of God to come to you and quicken you. Did He show His love for you by quickening you? And then the scripture says that He has raised us up and blessed us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. Have you ever sat together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord? Have you ever, as Brother Clay spoke this past Sunday night, have you ever climbed up in the throne to Him that overcometh? Will I grant to sit with me in my throne? You ever sat with Jesus in His throne? I have, and oh, it's a wonderful blessing. It's only because of the love and the mercy and the grace of God that He'll say, come here, my child, come climb in my lap. And just like John the Apostle laid his head on the breast of Jesus, Jesus hugged him and loved him. Jesus has hugged you and loved you. God says, I have loved you. I've loved you. David understood that when he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Every day, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't have to worry. My shepherd is going to take care of me. My shepherd has always taken care of me. Has your shepherd always taken care of you? Not saying you're not going to have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. But though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear any evil because He's with you. And His rod and His staff, they comfort you. And sometimes when I'm in the middle of the storms of life, you know what He does? He leads me beside the still waters and He restores. How can you describe the love of God? How can you name all the ways that God is loving you today? And do you hear God? Do you hear God telling you, I have loved you? I have loved you. And do you see that by our actions, though we wouldn't, with our mouth, we wouldn't dare say, wherein have you loved us? But by our actions, I think we say quite often, wherein have you loved us? Why do I have to get up and pray to you? What have you done for me? Well, I've got these problems. You don't care about my problems. You haven't fixed my problems. Oh, God's fixed more problems in your life than you can imagine. Let's sing, Jesus Loves Me. And I want you to think about those words, Jesus loves me. It's not just a little song written for little children. It's a song that expresses truth that every one of us ought to rejoice in.
You have been listening to the Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast. We hope you have enjoyed and were blessed by the first message. Now, on to the second message for today. The pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Malachi. I would like to read from Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. And verse 2 says, I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Let's look at a few other questions that are in the book of Malachi where the people are questioning God after God makes a statement to them, and then they immediately respond with a contemptuous statement each time. Verse 6, the scripture says, "A son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name? And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name?" He says in verse 7, "Ye have polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee?" Let's turn to chapter 2, come down to verse 14. We'll notice 13, we could go back all the way to verse 11, but listen to 13 and 14. Verse 13, Malachi 2:13 says, "And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with good will at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant." Verse 17 says, God speaking to his people again, he says, "Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him?" Chapter 3, verse 7, scripture says, "Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return?" Do you hear the contempt? That every time God identifies a problem, every time the people are just responding, "When have we ever done such a thing as that? What makes you say that about us?" Verse 8, he says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" Verse 13, chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee?" Verse 14, "Ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance?" All through the book of Malachi, God is making specific charges against his people, making statements to them, and then we hear their response, and in every instance, they're arguing with God. They don't just listen to God. They don't even believe what God is saying. I want us to go back now again tonight to the first chapter and the first two verses. "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel" by Malachi. God says in verse 2, he says, "I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us?" I pray that God will help every one of us here tonight that we might think about the fact that God has loved us. God has shown us. Every time in the Bible that the word love is used, it's always not just a feeling, it's a manifestation of love. And God has manifested his love toward every one of us in so many different ways. Probably the greatest way that God has loved us is by sending his only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sin. God chose us before the foundation of the world. God showed his love toward us in choosing us. God predestinated us to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. He predestinated us unto the adoption of children, and by predestinating us, he was loving us. God redeemed us. God forgave us of our sins. God has made known unto us the mystery of his will. God has quickened us. He's brought us from death unto life. God has made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Those are some of the things that just in the book of Ephesians that the Word of God says that God has done for us. And in every one of those instances, in every one of those, God is showing us how he has loved us. What he has done for us, things that we could not do for ourselves in delivering us from the bondage of sin and death. Then as we think about our daily lives, we not only need to understand that God has shown his love for us by being our Savior and eternally saving us from our sins and giving us the assurance that he has loved us with an everlasting love. He's given us the great promise that one day we will be with him forever in that home eternal in the heavens, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And all of that's because of what God has done in loving us. But we also need to thank God that God is our shepherd, not just our Savior, but God is our shepherd. And as our shepherd, God has done a lot for us, and God is doing a lot for us every day. What's the statement that God says here to his people? He says, I have loved you. I want everybody here to hear, as it were, God saying to you, I have loved you. I have loved you. I have loved you. Think of all the ways that God has loved you. Think of all the things that God has done to show you his love, to manifest his love. Go back to Psalm 23 as we think about the Lord taking care of us and providing for us. After lunch today, I asked some of the members of my family, I said, I want you to write down some specific things that you are thankful for, that God has shown his love toward you. What are some things that you can say, now God has loved me by doing this and by doing this? And I want to encourage everybody here that as you go home and during this coming week, that you would meditate on all the different ways you can think of in the Word of God, and from your experience, think of the ways that God has shown you his love, that he has loved you. Also, sit down with your loved ones, and you sit down with them and you talk to them about all the different ways you can see that your loved ones have shown you love. Parents need to sit down with their children and tell their children, I'm thankful for the ways that you've shown me that you love me. Children need to sit down with their parents and say, I am thankful for all the things that you have done for me to show me your love. Sometimes we don't like discipline, for example. We don't like to be chastened by our parents. We don't like for our parents to spank us or whip us. I never liked for my daddy to spank me. But I'll tell you, as I'm an adult, I look back and I thank God that I had a daddy who loved me enough that he was more interested in training me in the way I should go than being my friend. I had friends that their parents, their number one goal and objective was for their children to like them and to think that they were cool. I'll tell you, brethren, every one of my friends who had parents like that, every one of their lives are a disaster today. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he what? He chasteneth. Now, I don't like to think about that as something that's good. I'll tell you, brethren, I'm glad God has chastened me in my life. It not only gives me the assurance that I am his child and he loves me, but I know that God has kept me out of all kinds of trouble in my life by the discipline and by the chastening that he's brought in my life. It brings me back into a straight and narrow way when he whips me. Never have enjoyed the whipping, but I do tell you that God is good in loving me enough to chasten me and get me back in the right way. When I have strayed, that songwriter that says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. I can get so close to God, and I feel like sometimes I'm just going to bust wide open because I'm so happy and so close to God, and then the next day or the next week I can get so far away from God that I even doubt whether I'm a child of God. We get so far away from God sometimes in our lives. But thanks be unto God that he loves us enough that when that sheep, though there may be 100 sheep and 99 may be walking with him, that when there is one sheep that goes astray, he cares enough because the shepherd loves his sheep, and the devil and all of his angels cannot separate even one of those sheep from the love of God. We are preserved in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are kept by the power of God. And Jesus is the one who not only saved us, he's the one who keeps us out of eternal hell, and he keeps us close to him. In Psalm 23, David was praising God, and he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Are you glad today that the Lord is your shepherd? Are you glad that you have a shepherd, that his rod, even his rod and his staff, that they comfort you? I want you to think about the wording here. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'll tell you, brethren, everybody here, if you know Jesus as the great shepherd, if you know him as the chief shepherd, if you know Jesus is the good shepherd, if you know how much Jesus loves you, You'll know that all that the shepherd is doing for you ought to make you want to praise him every day. In Psalm 23, verse 2, David says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." There have been many times in my life I've been too busy and I've been on too fast a pace and I've been chasing worldly things, and God has slammed the door and shut it down and says, "You're going to lay down in green pastures." There have been other times that I've been seeking him and wanting his fellowship, and he has blessed me then to lie down in green pastures. So sometimes he makes me lie down in green pastures because I've gotten away from him, and he makes me lay down. And other times he blesses me and makes me to lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie. Are you glad he loves you enough to make you lay down in green pastures? Beautiful scene there. It's a beautiful description. The shepherd makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Brethren, there's a pure river of water of life that proceeds from the throne of God. And you and I, as the people of God, we have the wonderful privilege, as he says here, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." It's a great blessing to be as a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. The Bible says that there's a city, a great city that God has established, and that there is a river of water of life in that city. And we need to thank God that we have the privilege of having him love us so much that he leads us beside the still waters. Have you ever tried to find the still waters and could not find them? You can't find the still waters. If you've ever been beside the still waters, if you've ever been in the green pastures, it's because he leads you. He made you lie down in the green pastures, and he led you beside those still waters. "He restoreth my soul." How many times has God restored your soul? Lifted you up? Been depressed, discouraged, and despondent? Thought you just wanted to die? There was no reason to live? And then God comes along, and he restores your soul. You know what he's doing every time he restores your soul? He's loving you. What does God say in Malachi 1? "I have loved you. I have loved you time and time and time again. I loved you by doing this. I loved you by doing this. I loved you by leading you beside the still waters. I loved you by making you lie down in green pastures. And I have restored your soul." I'm glad, brethren. I'm glad to come to the house of the Lord, because most every time I come to the house of the Lord, my soul is lifted up. I need to be in the house of God. I'm led beside the still waters, and I lie down in green pastures often when I come to the house of God. My soul is restored, and without God being here, my soul would not be lifted up. My soul would not be restored. I would not have anything good to come out of a worship service. I can come to the house of God and leave with nothing more than I came with unless God blesses me to feel something there. But what a joy it is when God blesses us to feel the presence and the power of God and feel the peace of God. That was one of the things that Kylie wrote down. She said, "God shows me his love by giving me peace in my soul." Some people worry more than others. Some people have meltdowns more than others. Some people are very anxious from time to time. And those people, when God blesses them to have peace in their soul, they are thankful to have some peace. To not worry. To just be completely calm, because God is loving you. God's blessing you to feel his presence. What does God say in Malachi 1:2? "I have loved you." Has he loved you? Has he loved you today? Has he loved you today? Yes, he's loved you. Even if you don't see how he's loved you, he has loved every one of you today. He daily loadeth us with benefits. Every day. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. All of our blessings, they come from God. He's the giver of life and the sustainer of life. Do you know the only reason you're alive tonight is because God has shown his love to you? And he'll show his love to you when you leave this world too. Because if you're a child of God, when you leave this world, you're going to somewhere even greater than anything on this earth. So whether I live, I live unto the Lord, or whether I die unto the Lord. So whether I live or whether I die, I'm happy because God loves me and He's showing His love to me. And I believe with all of my heart when I'm trying to serve the Lord and it comes time for me to leave this earth, I can leave this earth with a smile on my face and say, even so come, Lord Jesus. I can honestly, truthfully say that I might see as Stephen lifted up his eyes when he was being stoned to death and he saw the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. I've been beside some bedsides when people were dying, and I believe Jesus has blessed them to see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. I'll tell you, one of the most glorious times was right there when Brother Foster Smith was going home to be with the Lord. His family was all around. That room was filled, and it was, I don't know what time, it was in the nighttime, and Jesus shined brightly. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus shows you love? Whether you're living or whether you're dying, He's right there with you. And so it is that David comes on and says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. If I'm dying, I'll fear no evil. If I'm feeling His presence, if I feel His love, I won't worry if I'm dying. I won't worry about my family because my shepherd is going to take, the God who loves me loves my family, and He's going to take care of my family. And when I'm losing a loved one, I can honestly, truthfully say, my loved one is better off with the Lord than he is here with me. If God will just give me that peace in my soul, if He'll give me understanding, I can have joy even when my loved one goes home to be with the Lord. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I wrote someone last night about 1:30 in the morning, a young man that's having a lot of trouble in his life. And I said, as I enumerated some of the blessings that I have in my life that I've experienced this week, and as I enumerated those things, I finally, after just one thing after another that I was talking about how good God has been to me this week, I finally said, as I was weeping, I said, my cup runneth over. And it does. I have, and you have, more blessings than you'll ever be able to count. Because why? Because God says, I have loved you. I love you. And I'm doing things for you every day of your life. And if we recognize and if we see what God is doing for us, we're going to be praising God for what He's doing for us. Turning your Bibles very quickly to Isaiah. Look at Isaiah chapter 41. Please look at Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. I want you to look at another way that God loves you. I want you to think about what God has promised you. I want you to hear what God says to you. Listen, brethren, it is wrong for you to be afraid of men. It's wrong for you to be afraid of what's going to happen to our country. Listen, brethren, it doesn't matter what happens to our country. Our God is still on His throne. My dependence is not on the government. My future is not dependent on the government. My dependence is on the God of heaven and earth. And I believe with all of my heart that God can take care of me just like He took care of that multitude of people that was out there in the wilderness. And He fed them every day and He watered them every day. And God can take care of me and you the same way. Because He what? Because He loves us. Because He loves us. In Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, He says, fear thou not. I've heard that 365 times that's used in the Bible. Fear not, fear not, fear not. God tells His people more than any other command. He says, don't be afraid. Fear not. Why? Well, because I've loved you. I love you. There's no reason for you to be afraid. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Is God with us? There are so many people that they think about, well, God is way up there in heaven, and I just look forward to going home to be with the Lord one day. Well, I'm glad to know that one day I will see Him face to face. But I'm also glad right now, I'm more thankful for the fact that He not only dwells in the high and holy place, but I'm also glad He tells me, I dwell with him also that is of an humble and a contrite spirit. One day I'm going up to be with God. He's going to take me to be with Him forever. But right now He comes down and dwells with us here. You know why? Why does He do that, Brother Neil? Because He loves you. Isn't it wonderful that God loves you enough to be with you? I'll be with you. Fear thou not, he says, for I am with thee. This is Isaiah 41:10. He says, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I'm so glad I don't have Allah as my God or Buddha or some other little god in this world. I'm glad, brethren, that I have the one true and living God, the sovereign God of heaven and earth. I'm glad he is my God. And all the gods of this world, they are no real gods at all. He says, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Do you ever need strengthening? Do you need God to strengthen you every day? God says, I will strengthen you. That's a promise from somebody who loves you. Who is it that loves you more than your mama? Who is it that loves you more than your companion? Who is it that loves you more than your parents, more than your children? Who is it that loves you more than your brothers and sisters in Christ? It's our Heavenly Father. It's our Lord. It's our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the one who loves us, and he is the one that will strengthen us. He says, yea, I will help thee. Do you need help? You need help. Tomorrow you're going to need some help. Brother Herman's having a pacemaker put in. You think he needs some help in the morning? I want to ask everybody here, you pray for Brother Herman. He needs some help in the morning. He not only needs help in that way, he needs help in a lot of other ways. And so do I, and so do you. And we need the help of the Lord every day. Help me, Lord. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Can you imagine being in God's hand? That's where you are. Jesus makes the same statement. He says, I have you in my hand, and the Father has you in his hand. That's as secure as anybody could ever be, is to be in the hand of God. I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Look at Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Here's another way he loves you. Isaiah 43, verse 1. He says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee. Do you know how you came into this world? You know how you came into existence? It was not by accident. There has never been a human being that it was an accident. God is on his throne. God is the one who made every single human being that has ever lived. God made them. Whether they're his children or not, they're his creation. God made them. And he says here, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Did you know Jesus knows your name? He knows your name. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. The Bible tells us that the very hairs of our head are numbered. Jesus knows how many hairs are on your head. Jesus knows your faults. Jesus knows the intent of your heart. Jesus doesn't look on the outward appearance as man does. Jesus looks right down in the heart. He knows why I'm here tonight. He knows why you're here tonight. And he knows when you're not here, why you're not here. Jesus knows. And he says in verse 2, he says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. That's a promise. You know why he'll be with you when you pass through those waters? Passing through the waters is the difficult times in life. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with you. Why will he be with you? Because he loves you. I want us to sing again, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I think I'm happier this week than I've ever been in my life. I think God has strengthened my faith this week in going through some things, given me more. I think my faith is stronger only because he's helped me. He's been with me. He's guided me. He's kept me from doing things that I would have done that were not what his will was. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Did you know nothing can destroy me without God's permissive will? Did you know that's impossible? Nothing can touch. The devil and all of his angels can't touch me without God saying, okay, I'm going to let you do this much. But he always has a hedge, no matter how much he allows Satan to do. He always has a hedge and says, you can't go beyond this point right here. I'm going to allow you, like he did with Job, I'm going to allow you to take away his possession. Or he may say to the devil, he may say, I'm going to allow you to take away his child. He may say, I'm going to allow you to afflict him with boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his, I'm going to allow that. But his life you cannot touch. You are secure because you have a heavenly Father who is the God of heaven and earth, and he loves you. And he loves your children. He loves your parents. He loves your friend. He loves your family. That's the only reason Satan hasn't already destroyed your family. It's because God has a hedge around your family. He loves you. That's better than anybody else and everybody else loving you, is for God to love you. I've loved you. How sad it is that we don't see the abundant ways that He's loving us and loving us and loving us. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when thou passest through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire. Are you going to have to go through some difficult times in your life? Does He promise that? You're going to go through hard times. But when you pass through all of that, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Why? Verse 3 says, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Now, He not only is the one who saved you from eternal hell to eternal heaven, but He's also the one who is saving you day by day in your life and delivering you. Just like when Peter was walking on the water and he began to sink and he said, Lord, save me. You think he was asking Jesus, take me on home now. I want to go to heaven now. Is that salvation he was talking about? No, sir. He didn't want to drown. He wanted to keep on living. And the Lord saved him. And the Lord has saved you, Brother Ken Drayton and Brother Ken Sylvester and Sister Pat and all of you in this building. God has saved you day by day by day. You know why He saved you? Because He loves you. Now, one day, you know what He's going to do? He's going to take you home. You know why He's going to take you home? Because He loves you. Whether you live or whether you die, you've got it made because God loves you. Behold, John the Apostle makes this statement in 1 John 3:1. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. How many of you would like to be an angel? Hold up your hand if you'd like to be an angel. Oh, come on. You wouldn't want to be an angel? I'd like to be an angel. But did you know there's something better than angels? Something better than angels. That's to be a child of God. I'm a child of the King. That's what John is saying there when he says, look, behold what manner of love. Look how He loves me. He could have said, well, I'm just going to redeem you and you're going to be my little pawns up here in heaven. Or He could have said, I'm going to redeem you and you're going to be my little sheep up here in heaven. But He didn't do all of that. Not only that, He said, you're going to be my children and I'm calling you my child right now. You're my child. He's my Father. He taught us to pray. And He said, when you pray, you say, our Father. Why? I'm His child. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry about the food. Don't worry about the clothing. Do not worry. If God can feed the birds of the air, can He feed you? If God clothes the flowers of the field, can he clothe you? So what does He say? Don't worry. But He says, do this. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Everything you need will be provided by your Father who loves you if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, if you're going to seek those other things, if that's more important to you than the kingdom of heaven, you're going to find out in your life, you're going to end up not having those things you thought you could have by ignoring God. Matthew 11, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Oh, isn't it wonderful to have peace in your soul and to know God loves you and He's loved you with an everlasting love. May God help us. When God has said, I love you, may God help us to never say, wherein have you loved me? But rather for us to declare, yes, Lord, you've loved me and you've loved me and you've loved me a million ways. Let me count the ways that you have loved me. And may God help us to love Him, is my prayer for Christ's sake.
You have been listening to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, located at 107 Linden Drive in Waycross, Georgia. Find us on your radio Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on 91.9 FM, WASW, American Family Radio. We are committed to helping every child of God grow in their Christian walk with the Lord. If you would like a free subscription to our monthly magazine or a CD of the broadcast you just heard, please write us at the Trumpet of Truth, 655 Acock Road, Waycross, Georgia, 31503.